హలో చిల్డ్రన్, మై నేమ్ ఇస్ కనకలక్ష్మి, పీజీటి బయాలజీ ఇన్ ఏఎస్ఎస్ నరోరా. నౌ ఇన్ అవర్ క్లాస్ 11, ద ఫస్ట్ టాపిక్ ఈజ్ ద లివింగ్ వరల్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ అవర్ యూనిట్ డైవర్సిటీ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్ ఆర్గానిజమ్స్. సో ఇన్ దిస్ టాపిక్ మెయిన్లీ వీ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు లర్న్ అబౌట్ నామెన్క్లేచర్, taxonomy, then mainly what is living. This is actually a repetition of what you have studied in 9th class, a little bit extension of it. So let us discuss this topic, what is living. So we all know that there are certain distinctive characteristics exhibited by living organisms. So such characteristics distinguish the living from the non-living. They include growth, reproduction, metabolism, response to the stimuli, and self-organization, interaction, and emergence. So then what is growth? So growth is defined as an irreversible increase in the number of cells or mass of the living structure. If we consider increase in body mass as growth, non-living objects like sand dunes also grow. Hence, growth cannot be taken as a defining property of living organisms, though it is a characteristic of only living organisms. Then the next is reproduction. We all know all unicellular organisms reproduce or multiply by cell division. In multicellular organisms, reproduction mostly refers to sexual reproduction. Some of them reproduce asexually also. Reproduction cannot be considered an all-inclusive defining characteristic of living organisms for the following reasons. In single-celled organisms, growth and reproduction are synonymous, as increase in number of cells is considered as growth as well as reproduction. Organisms like mule, the sterile workers, worker bees, etc. do not reproduce at all. Then the third important characteristics of a living is metabolism. The sum total of all the chemical reactions occurring in a living organism is called metabolism. All living organisms, be they unicellular or multicellular, exhibit metabolism without exception, but no non-living things show such metabolism. Hence, metabolism and cellular organization of living organisms are considered as defining characteristics of living beings. Then the next important characteristic of living is the response to the stimuli or consciousness. It refers to the ability of all living organisms, prokaryotes or eukaryotes, simple or complex in organization, have the ability to sense the conditions in their surroundings or environment and respond to these stimuli, which may be physical, chemical, or biological. Consciousness is a defining property of living organisms. Human beings is the only organism to have self-consciousness, that is, to be aware of himself or herself. But if we take the case of a brain dead person, can we say that he is living or he is non-living? Since he cannot respond to stimuli, can we call him as non-living? So this also cannot be a clear-cut defining property of a living. So we'll be learning actually in the 11th class. By the time you complete the textbook, you will come to know what is living. So next is about the biodiversity. These are all the introductory topics. So this biodiversity also we have learnt in class 9 itself. So biodiversity refers to the number and type of organisms present on the earth. Each different kind of organism represents a species. Next is identification. Identification is to determine the correct place of an organism in a previously established plan of classification. The characteristic features of various parts of an organism are compared with those of the already known species to determine their similarities and differences and to assign it to a particular group. Then the next is nomenclature. So it is not possible to identify the enormous number of organisms based on their common names. Hence, scientific names are given to them. You all know that nomenclature refers to the assigning of names to organisms. So the scientific names ensure that each organism has only one name. Description of an organism should enable the people of any part of the world to arrive at the common or the same name. Such a name has not been used for any other known organism. So under nomenclature, we have been listening the word binomial nomenclature. As you know, this method was introduced by Carolus Linnaeus. It is a method in which every organism is given a scientific name, which has two parts. The first is the name of the genus, that is the generic name, and the second is the name of the species, specific epithet. The common example we can give is Mangifera indica for mango, or Homo sapiens for human beings. Then the rules of nomenclature are provided in the International Code of Botanical Nomenclature for plants and the International Code of Zoological Nomenclature for animals. So we all know that while naming these organisms in binomial nomenclature, the first word is the generic epithet and the second one is the species epithet. And while writing, these genus and species are separately underlined. And if you are printing or typing it, it should be in italics. And the genus name is always starts with capital letter and the species name starts with a small letter. So these are some of the conventions or guidelines or principles for nomenclature. And the last topic is about classification. So it is nearly impossible to study all the living organisms, but classification makes possible the scientific study of such a wide variety of organisms. So organisms are grouped into categories called taxa, and representatives from each taxon is studied. So for this year, some of the topics like taxonomy and systematics and taxonomic aids and taxonomic hierarchy have been deleted for this year. So we won't be discussing that. So this is the end of this introductory topic, the living world. Thank you.